across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the state of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Michigan for one more day, where we've traded in our Lake Wissota studio for downtown Milwaukee, doing a little traveling for Up North News on this Wednesday, August 2nd. It is nice to have you along today. Aaron Zommer standing by in Madison as well, and hopefully back from our home base tomorrow. So if we've got a couple of glitches in the connection here, I hope you will excuse that and understand that we should be on the right side of technology tomorrow when we're back in our usual situation. Up on Lake Wissota, it is 67 degrees on this Wednesday morning. 69 here in Milwaukee, 64 in Waukesha, 66 up in Amory, folks listening on Lake Eyre. In La Crosse, it's 71, Hayward, 61, and in Green Bay, it is 64 degrees. Here's what's on tap this morning. Can we finally call a coup a coup? The 45th president of the United States is now criminally charged with trying to undermine the 2020 election. And yet the news was greeted by many with kind of a yawn because it's the third major indictment, but it is far and away the most serious. It gets to the heart of American democracy. And at what point do you go from, you know, carping about losing an election to interference and to criminal activity to overturn not just the will of the voters, but the trust the voters have in American democracy? So we'll talk about that this hour. Also, our weekly climate check report covers what homeowners need to know to get the most out of converting to solar energy that can power your houses and put more electricity back on the grid. Of course, there's a new state Supreme Court justice, so we'll talk about pomp and circumstance and crybabies. The pomp and circumstance we'll talk about with State Representative Jody Emerson, who was at the investiture ceremony in the Capitol yesterday for new Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. The crybaby is the director of the Wisconsin court system, a former conservative candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, a Republican appointee, who's going to lose his job with a new progressive majority. That shouldn't be news. But his squawking and crying about it to try to make himself a victim is making it a headline, and we'll try to address that, well, with the simple words, elections have consequences. Because, I mean, aren't conservatives the ones who say they're against entitlements? But apparently, unless you're entitled to a position like Fred Prenn, but we'll review the happier points of the day with Representative Emerson. We will talk to Todd Alba as well before things get wrapped up. Along the way, you can always reach us on the studio line, 844-967-2789, and our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Mr. Zommers, as you were coming into work, did you catch that big giant super moon as it was making its way toward the western horizon?
That I did not, unfortunately.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't catch it coming up because from where I am downtown, it was obstructed. But boy, when I woke up this morning, it was just huge, yellow, beautiful, and making its way downward. And I mean, obviously it'll be the same tonight and tomorrow, just not, you know, at the peak of fullness like it was tonight, but yeah, just gorgeous and, you know, nice temperatures. This has been a nice August week so far in Wisconsin.
I definitely have to agree.
And that's the thing we have to say. It's August. It, you know, we didn't really dwell on that enough now. And you get people going, oh, summer's almost over. It's like, hold on. We've got all of August. We're going to get there. We've got plenty of time to enjoy things. You've got the Wisconsin State Fair hasn't even started yet. I think that gets underway tomorrow. So, you know, plenty more activities for people to enjoy. I know this weekend, after 6 days on the road here, I'm looking forward to a quieter weekend. I know I'm getting ahead of myself. It's only the middle of the week, but are you making plans as well? I mean, you've been doing some road work to Manitowoc a couple of times. So where are you launching August socially?
Well, this weekend I will be going back to Manitowoc again, because the church that I used to go to with my family just got remodeled. So they're doing kind of an open house. And I'm going to go and play some music there.
Oh, very nice. What are you going to play?
I'm going to play drums.
You're going to play drums as part of the music. Gotcha. Okay, cool. I want to encourage people to embrace the positive side. Summer's not almost over. There's plenty of things to do. Go outside and play. It's nice out there. Among the stories that you'll find on Up North News over on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, you know that on Fridays, we tend to talk to national political correspondent Kia Vakil. And he, of course, has a wrap-up story on the website about the indictment against former President Trump, including the part where Trump compared his plight to the persecution of Jews in Nazi Germany. Because, of course, he did. So look for Kia's story on our website. If you go to social media posts, just look for Up North News WI. And for example, we have a new video explainer on minimum wage increases in other states, not Wisconsin, of course, where we've had the same Republican control of the legislature for a dozen years now. But raising that minimum wage is good for a state's economy. And in our newsletter that came out early this morning, again, that you can sign up for at the website, some of the new foods that you'll be able to find and some of the award-winning foods that you'll be able to find at the Wisconsin State Fair. So we've hinted at some of the day's headlines. We'll talk more about that in our next segment and then get our climate check, today's history lesson, and a little music break as well. So much to cover on this first hour of Up North News Radio for a Wednesday. We'll be right back. Tell you in today's history lesson and music break why we're playing Gladys Knight and the Pips with the emphasis on the Pips. And they're Heard It Through the Grapevine gets us into the Trump indictment that we'll get to in just a moment. First off, a reminder, Up North News is a separate entity from the Civic Media Radio Network, but we are so happy to partner with them. And so with that said, I would like to do my Civic Media friends a favor and read off a promo that they're sharing on all of their other shows as well about sponsoring play-by-play of the Green Bay Packers, because the Packers are going to be heard on Civic Media's WRJN in Racine and Kenosha. They'll have every game all season long. And so you have a small business, you could be in the huddle and on the line of scrimmage by signing up to have up to be a part of the Packer broadcasts. The Civic Media marketing team is ready to get you signed up with Packer games or Badger games or local high school sports. You can make an appointment to talk to a Civic Media team member about this opportunity at 608-819-8255. That's 608-819-8255. Do hurry. Appointments are filling fast. A few sponsorships remain. This isn't an unlimited offer. So give Civic Media a call at 608-819-8255. In other sports, and of course, I mean baseball, the Brewers are still in the nation's capital playing the Washington Nationals. Bryce Terang and Joey Weimer hit consecutive two-run singles as part of a four-run fourth inning, and the Milwaukee Brewers defeated the Nats 6-4 last night, and that snapped a four-game losing streak by the Brewers. Wade Miley is on the mound this afternoon for the deciding game of the series, then a quick trip home to start a series tomorrow evening against the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Brewers now just a half game behind Cincinnati in the National League Central. Plenty of activity ahead of last evening's trade deadline. The Brewers added first baseman Carlos Santana from Pittsburgh, outfielder Mark Canha from the New York Mets, and left-handed reliever Andrew Chafin from Arizona. And the Brewers parted ways with right-handed pitcher Peter Strzelecki and infielder Luis Urias. We are going to be giving away Brewer tickets. We're going to do that tomorrow, and that will be for Saturday's Brewers game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's a Saturday evening game. We'll give away the tickets tomorrow, Thursday morning, and we're going to do four tickets at once because I figure it's a Saturday game, and I'm sure you can find three friends that would like to go with you and make a great Saturday night of it at American Family Field. So be listening for that tomorrow. But again, for any of the Brewers action, You can tune in to Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM, or News from the Center and Richland Center, 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. And before I get the transition into headlines, it is quite clear that somebody is still recovering. Aaron, we talked about this earlier about, you know, how you, in the late stages of an illness, you are finally feeling better. You don't sound better yet. So I actually feel a lot better. And my apologies. I don't quite sound quite there yet, but we're getting there.
You still sound like you're feeling better. Like you can tell that your mind,
upbeat, yeah,
your body out besides your nose and throat are ready to go.
Yeah. Yesterday still in a bit of a fog here, but we're carrying on through the headlines. So again, just wanted to beg your pardon on that, but appreciate you being here as we go through some of the headlines. We'll talk a little bit later, like I said, about Janet Protasiewicz taking on the new role of justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we'll talk to Representative Jody Emerson in our next hour. But we're going to start here with asking if we can finally call a coup what it is. It's a coup. And now, again, that's not the official word in the criminal indictment. But you know what? Let's let Jack Smith, the special counsel who was looking into things, explain what it is that's new today.
Today, an indictment was unsealed, charging Donald J. Trump with conspiring to defraud the United States, conspiring to disenfranchise voters, and conspiring and attempting to obstruct an official proceeding.
It's a four-count indictment after an exhaustive federal investigation about Trump's actions. It is the natural extension of what all of America heard from the January 6th Special Congressional Committee. It's not directly tied to it. Counsel Smith did his own investigation, but that is to say, we know a lot of what was out there, and it's now time to take those actions, tie them to federal statutes, and let a grand jury determine if they rise to the level of criminal charges. And the grand jury of fellow Americans said yes, they rise to that level. And so tomorrow, Donald Trump will appear in a courtroom again for the third time to be charged with crimes. He has been charged earlier with crimes related to falsifying records over hush money payments. He has been charged with essentially taking classified secret government information and handling it sloppily where anybody could have gotten access to it at Mar-a-Lago. But now this is the big one. And I kind of worry it. On the one hand, people said, well, we're just kind of setting the stage with each federal indictment, you know, gets a bit more serious. I almost think it should have gone the other way around, in part because this has taken a very long time to investigate what was obvious, you know, as early as late 2020, early 2021. That if this had been the first criminal indictment against Donald Trump, people would be perhaps making a bigger deal out of it because it is a bigger deal than the first one, which again related to hush money payments to Stormy Daniels as he tried to cover up an extramarital affair. So there are folks who are looking at this going, yeah, we've heard all this already. And Trump supporters across the Republican Party, not all Republicans, I hasten to add, but you know, Trump supporters have been trying to spin everything from lies to diversions, like, oh wait, Hunter Biden, you know, or whatever it takes to get the attention off the very serious matter of trying to rig an election. And that is what Trump tried to do. He made the plans well before Election Day that if he lost, he was going to do certain things. And the slate of Wisconsin electors, the fake electors that his campaign set up in Wisconsin and in other states, is central to this indictment, showing that there was an actual plot, a conspiracy to defraud the voters. Even if not a single vote was changed, and thankfully it wasn't through Trump's actions, some people might say, well, then what are we doing? He didn't actually, you know, do anything. Well, this is essentially the attempted bank robbery. Didn't get away with a dollar, thank God, but still a criminal conspiracy that would have caused tremendous harm to the bank or to Americans' faith in democracy. And again, think of the chaos that would have ensued if not for just a handful of people. If Mike Pence had gone along with the plan and accepted the fraudulent ballot that was sitting in Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson's office. Or what if Jill Karofsky had not won that Wisconsin Supreme Court election earlier that year, and there'd been one more conservative justice on the court, on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that might have ruled in Donald Trump's favor of saying, yeah, let's re-examine the Wisconsin vote total, even though there was no evidence to support it. But there were still justices sitting on our state Supreme Court now who voted to consider putting the brakes on Wisconsin's election process and examining for something that didn't exist and that they didn't have proof that it existed. Again, just a few key people, and many of the key people who stood between Donald Trump and the chaos our country would have faced in January of 2021, they weren't Democrats. They weren't liberals. They weren't the media. They were people on his own staff. They were legal advisors. They were family members who all said to him, you lost. There's no evidence here. We've lost like 32 court cases. It's time to prepare for the transition. And instead, Trump continued to push, as heard, for example, in that infamous phone call with the Georgia Secretary of State, where he says, you know, fellas, give me a break. I just need you to find, you know, so many more votes, one more than I have, because I won the election. He didn't win the election. He continued to spread that lie because that was the only way that he could move forward. So this is not a case of First Amendment rights being violated. Donald Trump and any losing candidate can say anything they want about, well, I think it must have been rigged. Hey, you can say that. This is about the actions that you took beyond exercising your First Amendment rights. This isn't spin. This isn't just skepticism about the results. This isn't cynicism. This isn't suspicion. This is about not acting in good faith when you lost an election and trying to overcome the checks and balances built into our system, especially the voters. We are the ultimate set of checks and balances. And if you're trying to change the numbers on the scoreboard from what the actual votes were by fellow Americans, there should be a penalty paid. Now, it'll be up to a court from here, but for anybody disputing that these charges were filed yesterday, I would simply ask you to, again, go back through the records, go back through the actual actions, and see everything that Donald Trump did, not what he said, but what he and his co-conspirators did, and tell me that that isn't a direct assault on democracy, for which there should be consequences. Got time for one other story here, and that is a letter. It's just a letter. It's a letter sent by Congressman Mark Pocan, and it was sent to Congressman Brian Steil, also from Wisconsin, who chairs the House Committee on Administration. And it has to do with a fellow Wisconsin congressman, Derek Van Orden. And the letter from Congressman Pocan says to Congressman Steil, as chair of the House Committee on Administration, you have jurisdiction over matters of capital security. Therefore, I call on you to immediately release the security footage from inside the Capitol Rotunda on the evening of July 26th and the early morning hours of July 27th. It is critical that members of the public, including Derek Van Orden's constituents, know the truth of what happened that evening. As you know, you have already provided security footage to members of the public. In fact, in February of this year, you provided 44,000 hours of Capitol surveillance footage from January 6th to Fox News host Tucker Carlson. Representative Van Orden's constituents deserve to know the truth about the man elected to serve them in his profane tirade against Senate pages in the rotunda a few nights back. And so in the name of transparency into this election, I call on you to release the security tapes. To which I'm sure a lot of people said, Lordy, there are tapes. So we'll be watching for that to see if Congressman Pocan's request is granted. Coming up next, we'll talk to Melissa Baldoff in our weekly climate check and talk about the power of solar energy. We'll be back. It's electric. And now we are back with our weekly climate check. Melissa Baldoff joins us now to learn about a new organization. Well, the organization's not new. I'm learning for the first time more about Renew Wisconsin and the work it does to help improve the climate through having more people embrace renewable energy sources and take on other tasks that can be nothing but good for the climate. Melissa, good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here. And I'm so excited that our friends at Renew Wisconsin are able to join us this morning. We've got their executive director, Sam Danieski, with us this morning. I've worked with Renew a number of times over the years. They've always been strong partners to the governor's office and, you know, every effort I've been a part of to promote clean energy and the transition to clean energy in Wisconsin and really bolster our clean energy economy. So I'm really excited that Sam is here with us this morning to talk a little bit about some of their work.
Yeah, Sam, thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me. And Melissa, thank you very much for that warm welcome. We, Pat, it's okay if you haven't heard of us before. A lot of folks haven't, but, as clean energy moves more and more into the limelight, more people are definitely going to hear about Renew and all of the really great work that my staff is doing to promote renewable energy in our state.
So you're a nonprofit organization, but basically, would you call yourself an advocate and a resource for people? Are you engaged more with like consumers or more with politicians and policy writers?
All of the above. Our mission is to lead and accelerate Wisconsin's transformation to a renewable energy future through three avenues: through advocacy, education, and collaboration. We think all of those things are equally important. So yes, we do a lot of advocacy, policy advocacy. So a lot of that happens at the Public Service Commission. More and more now is happening at the Capitol as well. Education, we try to do our best to teach people about renewable energy and renewable energy policies to the general public, because, you know, these renewable energy is almost equal parts now policy and technology. So it's really important that people understand how they work together. And then collaboration also very, very important to us. We think that renewable energy and clean energy technologies are beneficial to nearly every Wisconsinite. And we just need to make sure that everybody understands how these technologies, how renewable energy can work for them. And once I think more people understand how it works for them, we just add more folks to our loosely defined coalition, if you will.
And then teeing up Melissa for the next couple of questions here, she and I worked quite a bit on the policy side of things, and between the bipartisan infrastructure law and the Inflation Reduction Act, Melissa, there's no shortage of opportunities for both advocates and consumers to learn more about, you know, what kinds of things could benefit them as well as the climate.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that's, you know, really important. You know, we've seen between the two pieces of legislation that you talked about, the largest investment in clean energy in a generation, and that is going to benefit businesses, consumers, families, farmers. You know, there's something for everyone in those pieces of legislation, period, and especially when it comes to improving our climate and making, you know, really paving the way for that clean energy transition. I think one of the things that has gotten a lot of attention and people are excited about is the benefit to help more people afford to transition to solar. There are tax incentives available to help make putting solar panels on a home or a business more affordable. And that's something we've heard a lot about that people are excited about. They know that it's something they can do to help reduce their costs and, you know, improve the stability of our grid. So I know that's one of the things that we wanted to talk about with Sam, and kind of like one of those pieces, like, you know, we've talked, you mentioned a little bit too, Pat, that some of these like technology issues, they sound like really wonky and in the weeds, but then when you hear a little bit more, it's like, oh, that makes all the sense in the world. So I know one of the policies that Renew has been really engaged in advocacy around is net metering. And it's one of those things that sounds kind of like wonky and like, what is it? But it's really important. And once people hear about it, they're going to be like, oh, that makes so much sense. So Sam, I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about net metering and, you know, what it is and why it's a good deal for people in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so net metering is exclusively for folks with their own solar arrays, right? So like a rooftop solar array on your own home. And what that does is quite often your solar array, especially this time of year in Wisconsin, is going to actually produce more energy than what you need when the sun is out. So, you know, right now when folks are at work, the sun is shining, your solar array is producing energy. That energy first, of course, goes to all of the appliances and the lights and the electronics in your home. The excess then goes out onto the grid. It goes down to your neighbor, your neighbor's neighbor, et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of like water. It kind of flows where it needs to flow. So, but then in the evenings or cloudy days or other times when your solar array isn't producing enough electricity for your home or your building, you can still take that energy in from the grid like we all do normally. And what net metering does is it balances, it actually counts the amount of solar energy your solar array exports or puts onto the grid. And it allows you to bring that same amount of electricity in for the same cost. So what it is, it's a billing policy that enables customers who generate their own electricity from their own solar systems to basically get a one-for-one retail bill credit on any of that energy. And that's really good for a lot of things. It A, makes the cost, the payback of that solar array shorter. It also, you know, it provides a lot of good for the utility. They don't have to produce that electricity. They don't have to maintain that system. They don't even have to buy that system, right? The customer is doing that on their own. So it's not just good for the end user, for the solar owner. It's actually good for the utility. And it's honestly good for the neighborhood and for the grid as a whole.
So in terms of a solar operation, and I'm thinking about this from a rural perspective, because there's, you know, more people that are embracing this and maybe they have a little space and, you know, pardon the naive question here about solar, but we all think about, you know, solar panels up on the roofs, but in rural areas, you have a little bit more space. Are we talking that people in some areas, rather than just a few rooftop panels, or actually have their own, I guess what you would call a mini solar farm so that they can get the benefits of net metering?
Well, each utility has their own net metering policies in Wisconsin, which makes things a little confusing because if you're, you know, in Alliant Energy territory, your net metering policy looks a little different than it does if you're in We Energy's territory or Xcel or one of the many co-ops or municipalities that we have here in our state. So mostly we are talking about rooftop solar here. We're talking about privately owned solar, either on a home or a business or like a nonprofit, like a church or an animal shelter or something like that. There are different, we call them tariffs. They're different, basically just rates for those folks who build those larger solar arrays. Right now in Wisconsin, that's usually the utility. So there's different rates for that electricity because being able to be bigger, they can take advantage of things like economies of scale and whatnot.
So where does somebody actually begin to learn more about this? I could even just use myself. I've got a lot of roof space that faces to the south, like everybody else on my street there. Is the first call to your local utility? Is it to some kind of a private company? Is it to an organization like yours?
That's a really good question. Some people That, you know, their utility is their trusted advisor. They will call their utility. I think that's a fine option. There's no really one single right way to do this, but in my opinion, the best thing to do would be to call a solar contractor. And we actually have a list and in fact, a map of those at Renew Wisconsin. Now, these are all current members of Renew Wisconsin. So that it's not necessarily all of the solar installation companies in the state. But if you go to renewwisconsin.org/solar-installers, you can see which solar installation companies operate in your area, and you can hopefully make a better decision there. But yeah, my first suggestion would be to reach out to a solar contractor in your neighborhood, and then they can come and let you know if solar is a viable option for your home or business or not.
And that brings up a really, you know, another great piece to all of this. And, you know, it's something that Pat, you and I have talked about in previous segments. When we talk about the benefit to our local economies and what investing in clean energy and our, you know, our clean economy and the technology there does for job growth, you know, with so many of these, you know, so much expansion here, there's a lot of opportunity for new jobs. And, you know, those jobs in the renewable energy sector pay really well. Many of them don't require a college degree. So that's a really, you know, another benefit here is that boost to our local economies and, you know, helping folks get into a job market that is growing all the time. You know, Sam, as I assume that's something you guys have seen in recent years too, is more and more companies kind of coming online and growing and becoming a part of your network as the, you know, the economy grows, that clean economy grows.
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing from my perspective that I've seen is our member installers. We've grown a few of those in number, but specifically the amount of business that our installer contractors, that our member contractors do have grown. I'm not gonna try to pick anyone out over another one because all of our member contractors are great. But we've really seen, especially a few of them, double, triple, even more, grow their business just over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, honestly. And another thing that I always like to point out to people is these types of installations, this type of work, it's not something that can be outsourced, right? We need actual Wisconsinites. We need actual boots on the ground folks installing these systems. We need electricians, master and journeyman electricians to connect these. So it's really good for the trade industry as well. And then, of course, there's a whole bunch of other jobs that also go along with this that a lot of people don't even think about, whether you're talking about supply chain, maybe you're looking at material scientists or other engineers designing the products, whether you're talking about sales and marketing folks to promote these projects to the general public. There is a wide variety of potential jobs in the economy here that Wisconsin can really take advantage of.
And then finally, I would imagine that for a lot of this discussion has been about the private sector homes and small businesses and things, but that there are still plenty of opportunities if more public sector entities, you know, read local and state governments, would do more to embrace renewable energy. I sure get the impression there's room for growth there.
Yes, some of our biggest champions have been local governments. We have several cities now across the state that have made renewable energy or climate pledges to decarbonize their city operations, to help decarbonize their communities as well. These local governments also, in a lot of instances, have these sort of privately owned behind the meter, what we call, or net metered solar installations. So they are very concerned about, you know, making sure that net metering stays the way it is and we don't change it going forward.
Sounds great. Well, Sam Donieski is the executive director of Renew Wisconsin. And Sam, it was great to learn so much more about this. Thank you very much and look forward to another visit soon.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really, really appreciate being able to talk about this.
No, another great guest suggestion for Melissa Baldoff to introduce to us. Melissa, thank you. Looking forward to talk to you again soon. Have a great week.
Thanks. You too.
All right. We also have a press release that came out from Xcel Energy, coincidentally yesterday, about this topic, saying that they wanted to offer tips to their customers because installing private rooftop or other on-property solar panels is becoming increasingly more popular, and to be aware that anything they're purchasing needs to be compatible with your local utility's electric grid. So I want to underscore that point about being in touch with your utility before taking on a project like that. Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio is going to join us next for today's history lesson and music break right after this. You're up north. Doesn't take much to appreciate what was the number one song this day in 1975 by the Eagles. Part of today's music break and history lesson, we'll bring on Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio in just a sec to share some birthdays and more. See, among the birthdays today, actress Mary Louise Parker is 59 years old today. The Marijuana Tax Act of 1937 was passed by Congress, rendering marijuana and all of its byproducts illegal. Still the case in Wisconsin, where apparently, based on today's history lesson, Republicans like the party like it's 1937. Let's bring in Melissa Kay here from Locally Grown Radio WFHR. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I sound worse than I feel, but that's the way it goes when you recover from these things.
Yes.
You know, when you're around the petri dishes known as grandchildren, God bless them. And you did a bit of a family reunion yourself, I hear.
Yes, I did. I got to see all of my nieces and nephews and cousins and aunts and uncles. It was the first year without grandma, and that's a little bittersweet, but glad the family all still got together.
And so these are all like direct descendants of your grandma.
Yes.
Okay. So it doesn't go across like all these other branches, because we kind of did the same thing this weekend with my wife's parents. And I had to actually, when you met, how many did you say were at your reunion?
I didn't count, but probably around 45.
Okay. So I thought, well, you know, for my in-laws, you know, who are about to celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary, we don't call it a family reunion because it's like, oh, it's just us. It's us, you know, the six kids and then their kids. And now there's some grandkids. But by the time I added up, you know, by the time Billy and Betty, grandma and grandpa, had their six kids and now five spouses or partners, and between all of their kids, there are 12 grandkids and five great grandkids. That was 30 people. You know,
wow.
So I guess it does count as a family reunion, even though we're just like, oh, just come on over. We'll just have a little picnic. It's like, no, this is a big thing, you know?
Yeah, it turns into a big thing, but it's fun to get together with family.
Oh, very much so. Getting back to the festivities today, the number one song from this day in 1980 was from Olivia Newton-John. You, of course, recognize this from the movie Xanadu. We all know the soundtrack. Almost nobody saw the movie. Come take my hand. You should know me. Now, I played Gladys Knight and the Pips earlier, only to note that this was the birthday of Edward Patton. And nobody would know Edward Patton other than that he was one of the Pips. You know, when Gladys Knight started this, actually, she was just part of a group called the Pips, and they were all siblings and cousins, speaking of family reunions. But then Gladys Knight kind of emerged as the front of the group, and cousin Edward was one of them. Eddie, yeah, he went by, and he passed away in 2005, but born this day in 1939. So I just wanted to give some long overdue props to the Pips. Props to the Pips. There you go.
Props to the Pips.
On this day in 2010, Arcade Fire released The Suburbs, their third studio album, universally lauded by fans and critics alike. So I picked a song off it because I know as much about Arcade Fire as perhaps, you know, Aaron does about Xanadu. So this is called Ready to Start. Just point, Aaron, where you go, how do you not know this song? This is so great.
No, actually, I'm also not that familiar with Arcade Fire, but more so than Xanadu, at least.
There you go. On this day in 1962, Bob Dylan made his name change official, legally saying goodbye to his birth name. Pop quiz there, Melissa. What was Bob Dylan's birth name?
Yeah, I got no guess.
Okay, Robert Zimmerman. Just Robert Zimmerman was not going to cut it. But Bob Dylan, that's another matter. It was also on this day in 1969 that he returned to his hometown of Hibbing, Minnesota to attend his 10-year high school reunion. But apparently things got really awkward at the local Moose Lodge. He never quite made it to the reunion itself. And he has apparently never since made another visit to Hibbing, Minnesota. So local boy done good, but no more family reunions there for him.
Sad day.
When you think of the big grossing concert tours out there, I mean, what would come to mind for you as far as, you know, the ones that made the most money when you look at the whole tour?
Rolling Stones.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. I would have thought Taylor Swift because that tour is going on now, you know, and you would.
Yeah.
But I looked because of the note here, and the note is about Ed Sheeran. So we'll play a little Castle on the Hill while I talk about it here. It was on this day in 2019 that Ed Sheeran played in Hanover, Germany on his Divide tour. It was the 246th date of that tour. Imagine a concert tour with 246 dates. That's crazy right then and there. But on this day in 2019, he broke the record that had been set by U2 for the highest grossing tour. He would eventually finish the tour. The tour grossed $775 million.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And yeah, there are some when you adjust it for inflation. Actually, I think U2 still rivals that. But yeah, there's Rolling Stones on there and some others as well. But I don't know which I'm more impressed by, the nine-digit figure or, you know, being on tour for, you know, that long. The big one, of course, Elton John just set the new record.
Yeah, that doesn't count. I know it counts officially, but he's been on tour for like 50 years. I know it's five, but still, he's just, when you make your tour 5 years, of course it's going to be the highest grossing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, you're right.
Good point, Aaron.
But when you're playing with statistics, yeah, there's all kinds of room for interpretation there, but so it goes. I would normally say, hey, what's coming up on locally grown radio, but you're kind of like 6 minutes into, you know, your work week here.
Well, I'm playing catch up, but I do know that they're meeting with the Wood County Sheriff's Department today for our midday magazine. So that'll be a good segment all hour long.
Okay. Sounds good. And then what I was asking Aaron earlier here, because I'm trying to dispel the notion that, you know, summer's over. It's like, look, we still have all of August. So, I mean, what kinds of things are still on the docket for you?
Actually, I'm really excited. This weekend, I'm going to see a stage testing of a musical that's born here in Wisconsin. It's called Lucette, and it's the story of Paul Bunyan's sweetheart. It was written by Mary Beth Lorbecki up in the Hayward area, or River Falls, actually, is where the show is taking place. So I'm excited to go see that on Saturday.
Nice. We're down here in Milwaukee for a little retreat with the entire Up North News team. And we were out to dinner last night. And Selena Heller, our new reporter, who I worked with as a reporter at TV13, I know that she'd done some theater. She came down to Milwaukee with a friend. Turns out they've done many theater shows together. And this is just my way of saying that for as extroverted as people think anybody is in the public eye, there's some things that other people like would never do. And for me, I've never done theater, and I would never have the guts to do it. And I just really applaud people like you and Selena and anybody else who can. Everybody has their strengths. And for me, I am just way too intimidated. So I'm glad you're still doing it. Glad you're having fun with it.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Melissa Kay, thanks so much. You can catch her on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Have a wonderful day.
You too, guys. Thanks.
All right. And when we come back later in our second hour, we'll talk to State Representative Jody Emerson about the investiture of new Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. We'll be back. You're up north. One works down by the